Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5:30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at the headlines. An inquest has found that the death of Father Paddy O'Kane in the Waterside Hospital 4 years ago was preventable. An 11-year-old boy has been arrested in Derry as part of an ongoing investigation into disorder at the Nailers Row interface in the city. A GoFundMe campaign has been set up to support the family of Lewis Kelly following the passing of the young sportsman. And plans for 60 new calf-backed homes in Carndonagh have been highlighted in the Dáil. All these stories in full and more coming up, and we will have a full update of all the sport with Oisín at around a 5:45. But first, an inquest has found that the death of Father Paddy O'Kane in the Waterside Hospital 4 years ago was preventable. Father O'Kane, a native of Coldaff and Inishowen, was found in the garden at the hospital. The inquest into his death was held in October 2024 and March 2025. The findings delivered today by Coroner Maria Duggan looked at all the circumstances of the popular priest's death. Donal Kavanagh has this report.
The coroner found that Father O'Kane suffered from a recurrent depressive disorder and had received treatment for it over the years. On March 28, 2022, Father O'Kane was subject to early checks, which the inquest found to have been appropriate given the level of risk. It was during one of those early checks that a staff member went looking for the priest and found him in the garden. The inquest heard that following Father O'Kane's death, measures had been implemented to prevent a recurrence, including the installation of CCTV within the grounds of the hospital. In conclusion, the coroner said those in religious life can often be quietly experiencing their own difficulties, and such individuals should be provided with appropriate understanding, pastoral care, and timely professional support.
And there's more details on the coroner's findings available on our website, highlandradio.com. An 11-year-old boy has been arrested in Derry as part of an ongoing investigation into disorder at the Nailers Row interface in the city. He was arrested on suspicion of offences including riotous behaviour and possession of an offensive weapon in a public place. He has since been released on bail pending further police inquiries. He is the third young person arrested in connection with the disorder this week, following the earlier bail of two others aged 13 and 12. Police are continuing to appeal for information and are asking anyone with footage, including dashcam, to contact 101. A GoFundMe campaign has been set up to support the family of Lewis Kelly following the passing of the young sportsman. In the name of the local community, it aims to help with funeral expenses and everyday costs and help ease some of the financial burden so that the family can focus on caring for each other while grieving the loss of Lewis. A link to the fundraiser is available on our website, highlandradio.com. Plans for 60 new calf-backed homes in Carndonagh have been highlighted in the Dáil. The Capital Advanced Leasing Facility Scheme provides government support to approved housing bodies for the construction and purchase of social housing developments. Deputy Charles Ward says the proposed homes would help tackle housing demand locally, while also supporting development in the wider area. The Donegal TD also urged Helen McEntee to raise with Cabinet colleagues the refusal of a separate application for 17 homes in Milford.
Minister, there's currently a capital advanced leasing facility application for 60 new homes in Carndonagh, County Donegal, and I cannot stress how important this is for development for Carndonagh. Families across Donegal are desperate for the opportunity to secure an affordable home and build a better future for themselves. The cost of houses has risen, soaring rents have left many unable to afford suitable accommodation, and thousands remain on the social housing waiting list. New housing development can play a vital role in easing the housing crisis and provide people with a safe, secure place to live. Minister, will you encourage your colleagues to look at the 60 applications in Carndonagh and to review the 17 houses in Milford that have already been refused?
An Inishowen councillor says there must not be a repeat of the two-month boil water notice that was lifted in Coldaff last week. Councillor Martin McDermott described the disruption as a major inconvenience and has called for better communication from Ishke Éireann during future issues. The Gaeilge of the Inishowen Municipal District says discussions are underway to prevent a similar situation, particularly during the busy tourist season.
Disappointing that it took 2 months to get that water supply restored. I mean, it has been a major inconvenience for so many families, so many elderly people, people that are sick, people with young children. But at the other flip of that coin is that we do have a new borehole board out there now. We will have a lot of extra water, a lot of bigger capacity for that area. So, yeah, it has been a bit of pain. And I think that, you know, and I've said this to Irish Water, the communication around these things, the communication around the boil water notice and it having to go on needs to be better. People need to be better informed of that. They need to be informed of the reasons why. And I think if Irish Water done that, you wouldn't have people, you know, getting angry and not knowing what's happening. So I have brought that up with them. They said that they will take that on board. But look, it's good to see that it's back and the boil water notice is off. But it's also good to see the investment that's been done out there and that the fact that we do have a third borehole now, which will significantly increase the water.
And I suppose work now begins to make sure that sort of thing does not happen again in Kilduff.
Exactly. That's what the conversations we've had with Irish Water, to be sure that we're not back in that situation come June or July time when you know, there's an influx of visitors, there's an influx to the beach in Kilduff and different places. We don't want to see that happening again. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that we've got over that now. We have extra water capacity and that we won't be back with a boil notice again.
Sinn Féin is describing a new €127,000 hospital bike shed as tone deaf. The HSE is being called before the Dáil Public Accounts Committee to explain the final cost of the shed at University Hospital Kerry when options of between €6,000 and €9,000 were available. It comes less than 2 years after a similar project at Leinster House was revealed to have cost over €330,000. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty says it's an outrageous waste of public money.
Healthcare workers are being told that there's no money. Vacancies are going unfilled. Staff, they're working to exhaustion. Patients, they're waiting longer and longer. Children are waiting months for assessment. But yet, on the other hand, somehow your government, no problem, finds €127,000 for a designer bike shed that was signed off without blinking an eye. And you know what the most outrageous part of all of that is? There were vastly cheaper options available. Because you've examined options that included less than €7,000. One €10,000, another one €21,000. But no. You chose an option that was 20 times dearer than that. And what was the excuse for all your waste? What's the excuse for this? Is it because it had tougher glass? Because it looked nicer? Because the spacing was a bit better? Because the hospital green team thought it might be more publicly acceptable? Minister, if this was satire, it would be unbelievable. Patients are being treated in trolleys, in corridors, in our hospitals, in Kerry and elsewhere. That's the reality. Families are desperately trying to access the care and supports that they need. Staff that are being burnt out, that are leaving the system. And now, on top of all of that, you've imposed a recruitment embargo on parts of the health system. And while essential posts go unfilled under your watch, your government signs off on a luxury bike shed and lectures the public about value for money and the need to tighten your belts in these challenging times.
Derry City and Strabane District Council has cleared the way for safety improvements, including signalisation at the Caw roundabout in Derry. Local representatives had been liaising with the developer of Ross's Gate, who has agreed to fully fund the design after a previous Department for Infrastructure plan failed to materialise. SDLP Waterside Councillor Martin Riley says this is recognised as the most dangerous roundabout in Northern Ireland.
Caw roundabout is used daily by so many motorists, and unfortunately is the scene of so many accidents. It is statistically the worst roundabout in Northern Ireland, and we have a situation where planning permission now has been granted for traffic lights to be installed at the roundabout in the same way as there are signalisation of the foil bridge at the Colmore end of the roundabout. So not only will there be improvements in terms of road safety, but thankfully there'll also be far better access for people who live in the area who want to commute in that part of the city.
Anyone who drives from City of Derry Airport into Donegal is going to know Caw roundabout well and know the difficulties of getting into the right lane on Caw roundabout well. Anywhere you're going really in Derry from the airport, Ballykelly, Limavady side, you're going to have to use Caw roundabout.
Absolutely, and for people now coming in from the airport who might want to go up towards Altnagavan Hospital, there'll be a dedicated left lane for those journeys, which will alleviate congestion at the roundabout for people who are coming back into the city. This is a really positive development in terms of road safety. It's also worth pointing out that attached to the announcement is the progression of the social housing at the adjacent Ballyowen site. So as well as dealing with the new development of the roundabout and the improvement work that will happen there, there will be social houses built which will alleviate the waiting list.
A new five-year strategy has been launched for further education and training in Ireland. The Creating Future strategy hopes to deliver skills in AI, digital and green innovation. Over 230,000 people received qualifications from Solace in 2025. Its executive director, Mary Liz Trant, says people are continuing to take up apprenticeships and further education courses, and a key element of this is the ability of education and training boards to respond to the needs of employers.
That kind of ability to respond, you know, is something that's kind of been built into further education and training. And, you know, particularly I mentioned the ETBs there, you know, they're, you know, very much have developed that kind of ability, you know, to develop new courses, working closely with industry to respond. The numbers have grown very significantly over the last number of years. Just taking apprenticeship alone, there's now over 30,000 apprentices in training in Ireland. That's, you know, triple the amount that there would have been, you know, just 6-7 years ago. So the numbers have really grown.
One in seven students at the Royal and Prior Comprehensive School say they would cycle to school if proper infrastructure was in place. The findings come from the school's Safe Cycle Awareness campaign. Students are now calling on Donegal County Council to introduce cycle lanes within a 5 kilometre radius of the town, along with traffic calming measures such as speed zones and ramps. Cody McClintock is a fifth-year student who has been involved with the Green Schools Initiative for the past 5 years.
As I feel like if you see your friends cycling, you'd be encouraged to cycle too. You'd be more, maybe a sense of community, because when you're alone, it's never a fun thing to do. And when you're in that 5 kilometre radius that we're hoping to get more people to cycle, and we hope more people be like, oh, I live around that area too, I might as well join them, come to school and that. Because if we do get our 15 people that we wish to get cycling, next year we'll ask the county council if we're able to build a bike rack for people to store their bikes in, so it's easier for them to get to school.
It is 18 minutes to 6 on Highland Radio. All the sport with Oisín after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, now stocking the new Donegal GA jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It is 5:45 on Highland Radio and Oisín Kelly is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. We're going to start with motorsport, and it's been a sad day at the Northwest 200. During this morning's session, a rider died after an incident in Superbike qualifying. The accident happened at Station Corner and a red flag brought the session to an end. The fatality is the first at the Northwest 200 since 2016. The qualifying sessions have been moved to this evening, replacing the planned opening three races. In Gaelic Games, fixture details were confirmed earlier today for Donegal's trip to Kerry in round one of the All-Ireland Championship. The game will be played on Saturday the 23rd of May with a 3 p.m. throw-in at Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney. The fixture will be behind a paywall and shown on GA+. But you will of course be able to get full match coverage and commentary right here on Highland Radio from the tie of the round in the series. Also on Saturday, Cork hosts Meath at 5:30, Galway to Go and Kildare at 7:30. Tyrone will play on Sunday the 24th at Dr. Hyde Park against Roscommon. That game starts at 2 o'clock and will also be on GA+. Moving to football, Nottingham Forest and Aston Villa go head-to-head to reach a first major European final for more than 40 years tonight. Forest will take a 1-0 lead into the second leg of the Europa League semi-final clash at Villa Park. Forest manager Victor Pereira says that scoreline won't affect how they approach the game.
Forget the result, forget. I don't think about the result. Start 0-0 and we'll fight for the result, the best result.
Villa's Spanish manager, Unai Emery, has won this competition a record 4 times. Villa last won a major trophy in 1996, and Emery is desperate to change that stat.
I think every player, they must be focused, and playing, not playing, excited. And now is a new chapter, and I want to write a new chapter here.
In the Conference League, Crystal Palace are just 90 minutes away from a first-ever European final. They lead Shakhtar Donetsk by 3-1 heading into the return leg of their semi-final at Selhurst Park. Palace manager Oliver Glasner says that the lure of more European football next season by winning the competition is motivating fans and players alike.
They tasted the honey, as I said, last year with the FA Cup. This year was Conference League, and that they want honey again. Yeah, so they won't be happy with just avocado. So they want it a bit sweeter.
Kick-off in both games for the English sides tonight in Europe is at 8 o'clock. Up in Scotland, Hearts manager Derek McGuinness has been named as the Premiership manager of the season. It's his second individual award of the campaign, having been voted SPFL manager of the season at the PFA Scotland Awards on Sunday. His team are 3 points clear at the top of the league with just 3 games remaining. Rory McIlroy makes his return to golf this evening, a few weeks on from defending his Masters title at Augusta. He's in the field for the opening round of the Trust Championship at Quail Hollow. He's playing his opening round alongside Justin Rose and Matt Fitzpatrick. Irish woman Claire Dowling has been named the first ever female captain of St Andrews Golf Club in Scotland. The Dublin native was one of the first women to be admitted as a member of the RNA in 2015. The famous course will host next year's Open Championship. In World Rally, the WRC moves to Portugal this week after the opening 2 stages. Oliver Solberg and the Toyota leads by 3.4 seconds from the i20 Hyundai of Adrian Vermeulen. Tyrone's Aaron Johnston, who sits with Ataka Katsuta, is 7th, 15 seconds off the leaders. A further 7 seconds back in 9th are Fermanagh's John Armstrong and Donegal's Shane Byrne in the Ford Puma. And in the other Puma car, Derry's Josh McAuleen and Cork's own Tracy are rounding off the top 10. Ireland rugby head coach Scott Bernard has named his team this morning for Saturday's Women's Six Nations clash with Wales in Belfast. There's one change from the defeat to France last time out. Eve Higgins replaces Nancy McGilvery at inside centre. And finally, just looking ahead to the score this evening, Gavin Cullen joins us to preview the weekend's games for Finn Harps and Derry City. We hear from Donegal man Mark Coyle on his first season with Coleraine, which culminated in winning the Irish Cup last weekend. And Callum Devine tells us all about his record-breaking 5-in-a-row rally of the Lakes win in Killarney and his preparation for the Donegal International Rally. It's all part of the Score programme tonight, Ryan, which is live after the 7 o'clock news.
Thanks very much, Oisín. And the weather, a mix of cloud and sunny spells with scattered showers, a mix of cloud and clear spells tonight with scattered light showers that will become more isolated as the night goes on. Lowest temperatures of 4 to 7 degrees. Tomorrow will be dry with good spells of sunshine developing through the day. Highest temperatures of 10 to 14 degrees. A look back at today's main stories. An inquest has found that the death of Father Paddy O'Kane in the Waterside Hospital 4 years ago was preventable. Father O'Kane, a native of Coldaff and Inishowen, was found in the garden at the hospital. The inquest into his death was held in October 2024 and March 2025. The findings delivered today by Coroner Maria Duggan looked at all the circumstances of the popular priest's death. Further details of the coroner's findings are available on our website, highlandradio.com. An 11-year-old boy has been arrested in Derry as part of an ongoing investigation into disorder at the Naylor's Row interface in the city. He was arrested on suspicion of offences including riotous behaviour and possession of an offensive weapon in a public place. He has since been released on bail pending further police inquiries. He is the third young person arrested in connection with the disorder this week, following the earlier bail of 2 others aged 13 and 12. Police are continuing to appeal for information and are asking anyone with footage, including dashcam footage, to contact them on 101. A GoFundMe campaign has been set up to support the family of Lewis Kelly following the passing of the young sportsman. In the name of the local community, it aims to help with funeral expenses and everyday costs and help ease some of the financial burden so that the family can focus on caring for each other while grieving the loss of Lewis. A link to the fundraiser is available on our website, highlandradio.com. And plans for 60 new calf-backed homes in Carndonagh have been highlighted in the Dáil. The Capital Advanced Leasing Facilities Scheme provides government support to approved housing bodies for the construction and purchase of social housing developments. Deputy Charles Ward says the proposed homes would help tackle the demand locally, while also supporting development in the wider area. The Donegal TD also urged Helen McEntee to raise with her cabinet colleagues the refusal of a separate application for 17 homes in Milford. That's all for the newsroom for now. Farming news and views with Chris Ashmore will be after this evening's obituary notices. We'll be back with news in full again at 7 o'clock.
the obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 7th of May. The death has occurred of Thomas McBurty, the Commons Killy Beggs, reposing at McBurty's funeral home from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening and again from 2 o'clock until 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Funeral Mass on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Mary of the Visitation Church, Killy Beggs, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The Mass will be streamed on mcn.live. The house is private, please. The death has taken place of Linda Shields, Park View, Letterkenny, formerly of Aholati, Carrigart. Her remains are reposing at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, until 7 o'clock this evening. Wake at the family home in Aholati tomorrow from 12 noon until after the rosary. The wake at the house is strictly private to close friends and family, please, and to family only on the morning of the funeral. The funeral mass will take place on Saturday morning at 11 in St John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, with interment afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the oncology ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty, funeral director. The death has taken place of Kieran McKay, Drumminy, Letterkenny. Kieran's remains will repose at his late residence until 9 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 o'clock, rosary nightly at 9. Family time, please, after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral from his late residence on Saturday afternoon at 2:15, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, for Requiem Mass at 3 o'clock, which can be viewed on the parish YouTube channel. Interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Haematology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Lewis Kelly, 27, Dunolling, Culdaff. Lewis's remains are reposing at the family home in Culdaff. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:10 for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Ahutlay, followed by burial in Lag Graveyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Richmond ICU, Beaumont Hospital, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, funeral director. The death has occurred of Johnny D. Early, Main Street, Ardra, formerly of Mullinard, Glenties. His remains are reposing at his home in Mullinard, Glenties until 9 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, followed by burial in Glenties Cemetery. And the death has taken place of Maeve Hart, née Ward, Dundalk, County Louth, formerly of Pound Street, Carndonna, reposing at Shevlin's Funeral Home, Berwick Street, Dundalk, until 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 in St. Fursey's Church, Haggardstown, Dundalk, followed by burial in Carndonna Cemetery, arriving at approximately 2:30. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello and welcome along to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. The search is officially underway for the 28th FBD Young Farmer of the Year, with applications and nominations opening from today for the 2026 awards. Last year, the FBD Young Farmer of the Year award marked a historic milestone as Cork dairy farmer Aileen Sheehan became the first woman to win the prestigious title in the competition's history. And earlier today, I spoke to her about the competition and why she feels people should take an interest in it and getting involved. Aileen, firstly, well done on winning the title last year. You have first-hand experience of what's involved. And so from a winner's perspective, what did it mean to you?
Sure, it was a fabulous honour, to be honest, to be recognised by by Macra and to be supported by the sponsors. It has been an amazing year. I was lucky, I was nominated for the award, and I really didn't have confidence in myself to go forward. Look, I know we're working hard, and I know the farm is going well for us since we started 5 years ago. But I really didn't have enough confidence in my ability to go forward for something like this. But my husband encouraged me to try it, and he said that I had all the work done and that I had developed enough knowledge to do it. So I suppose I took it upon myself then to use this to develop my knowledge of my business, the knowledge of the farm. And yeah, it was just a fabulous experience from the very, very beginning.
And you certainly are a very busy person. You're a teacher. You teach PE and maths. So combining that with the farm, time management, no doubt, is crucial. So tell us just a little bit about your own farm.
Yeah, I suppose they're milking 140 cows in a place called Whitechurch in County Cork. Me and my husband, with the last 5 years, have been working off-farm and then using our wages, I suppose, to set up the farm with the dream of obviously going farming full-time. So luckily in September, we managed to get Philip into the business full-time. And I'm still teaching because of the way it falls. I'm lucky, like I'm off for the summer. And obviously we have good holidays in between and I finish early in the day, which means I can go milking or even mornings like this morning, I can go milking because I can milk nice and early before school. So I suppose from a teaching point of view, it works really well together with farming. So once we used all our money, because that's the only way we could have funded it, is to earn enough money to set up the farm, because I think that's the biggest challenge for young farmers these days, is where are they going to get the finance to set up a business if they don't have a supporting business or they're inheriting from an owner. That's the biggest challenge, I think, for young farmers these days, how to get into the industry. So it took us 4 years for one of us to now be taking a wage off the farm. And the dream is that we'd be both in that scenario in the next year or two once we can build it up again. But that's the way it balances at the moment. We're pretty much 50-50 on all jobs. Like, I was milking this morning, got to work, he's milking this evening. It just takes organisation and communication most of the time. Yeah.
Now, the FBD Young Farmer of the Year Awards, they date back to 1999. You're the first woman to have won the award, and no doubt that will inspire other women to participate and to enter, hopefully, this year. So tell me about the whole process for entering it for people who maybe haven't done so before. What is the whole procedure?
Yeah, so I suppose you're nominated and you get to do a Zoom interview. We were away on holidays and I was doing my Zoom interview, and I was telling him, God, I don't know, will I be able for this? But there was a Zoom interview first, and then there was an interview up in Kildare that I drove up to. I didn't even tell anyone I was going. I really had no confidence in myself. And then you're called back for the final interviews. I think it reduces down to eight into the final interviews. And the judges are so lovely and everything inside the interview. It really is about selling your story and selling your knowledge of your business. So, yeah, I was delighted to be the first woman. And it's amazing. But I suppose the way I think about it, it's done now. So I hope, you know, that shouldn't be a barrier for anyone else. Like, I really don't. I understand the need for the women farming to put a big emphasis on it, but like really what I'm advocating for is young farmers. It's young farmers need to be looked after, not just men and women. So no matter who it is next year, whether it's male or female, I don't think it matters. I think, you know, we're all advocates for young farmers, and that's what I took my job as this year, is my responsibility on behalf of MACRA and FBD and everybody else, just to advocate for new young farmers to put themselves forward and gain confidence by entering competition like this. And like, you get fabulous experiences. Like, I've talked in amazing places, Ear to the Ground or down to visit. I've tagged in doing loads of trials on the farm. You know, it opens doors for your business that helps you develop in other ways. And you get out a lot to speak to other young people and other young farmers. So I suppose it's great to have advocates, and that's the main reason for the award.
And finally, the message from you, no doubt, is for people who are out there and listening to this, the Young Farmer of the Year Award, a great competition to enter. And look, even if you don't win, it's still the process of becoming involved is important.
Yeah, look, we need to have the voice at the table. Like, we can't sit back and give out about things not going our way or people not looking after us if we don't go out in front ourselves. So, in my opinion, if you're given that opportunity to go out and have a voice, you have to use it. And, you know, that's what I've tried to do in the last couple of months, whether it be interviews or days out or visits, to visit other young farmers to speak to them, is we have a voice at the table and we really should use it, because young farmers are going to be the future of the industry, and for the industry to look after us, we have to tell them what we need, tell them how hard it is, tell them what's working, what's not. So I think if we want to have a voice, let's use these opportunities that are supported really well. To be fair to FBD and the sponsorship and the prizes, like, it's fabulous. So it's well worth your time is going for it.
And that was Cork dairy farmer Aileen Sheehan, who last year became the first woman to win the prestigious FBD Young Farmer of the Year Award. Well, this year's competition will once again feature a range of categories, including dairy, dry stock, other enterprises, that includes horticulture, pigs, poultry, tillage, equine and forestry. Then we have land mobility and also career farm management. And the winners from each category will go on to compete for the overall title and the prize fund as well, worth mentioning. The winner will receive €5,000, each category winner, and the best young entrant will receive €1,000. And incidentally, a pedigree sheep farmer from Letterkenny, Dwayne Shields, was the winner of the Young Farmer of the Year Award back in 2023. He also had a category award for land mobility. Entries can be submitted via the MACRA website. So if you go to macra.ie, you'll find the details there. In other news, as many listeners will be aware, the applications for the Fuel Income Support Scheme have opened, and you can contact the department or go to myagfood.ie for more details on that. And just to let you know, farmers and nature enthusiasts are being invited to a special on-farm walk with Farming for Nature Ambassador Boyd Bryce. That takes place on Inch Island on Sunday the 18th of May. The theme of the walk is managing a wide variety of habitats on a productive sheep and tillage farm. And a total of 16 Ferguson tractors with an average age of 75 years are participating in a drive from Mizzenhead to Malinhead. They set off from Mizzenhead in Cork yesterday and are due to arrive at Malinhead next Tuesday. According to Mick Ford, coordinator of the Ferguson Heritage Group, this drive will demonstrate the durability of the Ferguson 20 tractor, which was first introduced back in 1946, and over 500,000 of these little grey Fergusons were produced, a testament to the engineering genius of Harry Ferguson, who was born in County Down. Now, funds raised from the event will be shared with the Irish Cancer Society and the Ferguson Museum Fund. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.